Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Some significant employment cases are now before the U.S. Supreme Court, and Liberty Counsel has filed two amicus briefs in the three cases in support of the employers and regarding the law. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber and Holly Mead. Well, these three cases are very significant because two of the cases are consolidated, and they deal with sexual orientation. The other case deals with gender identity. So we filed briefs in both of those categories of cases. And the bottom line in both of these, Matt, is that both of these cases or categories of cases are attempting to have the court rewrite Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. What the legislature did not do and has refused repeatedly to do, they want the courts to do, and that is to interpret the word sex in that 1964 law to include sexual orientation and gender identity. And frankly, if the court were to do that, it would turn the law on its head.
Well, it would be rewriting the legislation in complete opposition to the legislative intent, which is expressly something that the courts are not only disallowed from doing when in terms of their constitutional duties and limitations, but it would be full-on judicial activism if they were to do that. It would be the courts legislating from the bench, completely reinterpreting the legislative intent, changing the central meaning of the law, which is not the place of the courts ever.
Right. So analogy of that would be like they're saying that what you cannot discriminate on the basis of race, rightly so, you know, we don't have black and white bathrooms, we don't have black and white, drinking fountains, whatever, which is correct. They're saying that what you cannot discriminate about race, you would not be able to discriminate against choice of lifestyle, i.e. sexual orientation or gender identity.
Yeah, and so what happened is the two lower courts on the sexual orientation case, they disagreed. One of them said that sex in Title VII, the 1964 Civil Rights Act, should be interpreted to include sexual orientation. The other case said, no, it should not. The third case is involving a funeral home, and it said that it does include or should be interpreted to include gender identity. Well, it's in the first case, the Bostick versus Clayton County, Georgia case. It ruled that sex does not include sexual orientation. And it ruled against Gerald Bostick, who claims that he was relieved from his job as a child welfare services coordinator at a Georgia County juvenile court system when his employer found out that he was homosexual. The other one was the Zarda case. And the lower court ultimately said that sex does include sexual orientation. And this was a skydiver, Donald Zarda. And he was let go after he told a female jumper not to worry about being strapped to him because he was homosexual. Now, Zarda died in 2014 in a base jumping accident, but his family has continued to press the case on his behalf. Ultimately, a lower court ruled that this law should be interpreted to include sexual orientation, and they ruled in the estate's behalf. The third case is the funeral home case, Harris Funeral Homes. And in that case, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, under then Kai Feldblum, who was appointed by Obama, and fortunately she's not there anymore, she always felt that LGBT should trump religious freedom. Under that case, the lower court ruled that sex should include gender identity. This was a case where an employee in a funeral home was terminated when he told his employer that after he returned from vacation, he was going to return as a, quote, woman, close quote. And the employer said that would violate not only our dress code, but also it would inject confusion and distress in a situation where families are grieving.
I mean, can you imagine you have a death in the family, you come into the funeral home and there's a man dressed as a woman? That would cause a problem.
You know, the last thing you want in a funeral home is to even really realize that the funeral workers are there.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you're not there for them. It's not their show.
Right.
You're there to grieve, to meet other people, and they stay in the background.
Right.
They're there to help and assist. Now you go as a grieving family, grieving friend, and there's this person that is obviously a man.
Confused.
Dressed as a woman. And that's the last thing that you ought to have injected into that grieving process.
Can't imagine.
And really how selfish of an individual to say, look at me here, I'm the center of attention now, clearly a man dressed as a woman, distracting from the grieving and the central focus who is the deceased and the celebration of that life, hopefully. And so the word sex in Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act was unequivocally meant the biological sex, either male or female, of an individual, period.
Common sense.
So none of these people were fired because they are male or because they are female. And so it is such a stretch. It strains credulity to imagine that the legislative intent would have somehow, if they had meant sexual orientation, something that really wasn't even kind of fully defined at the time. It's really
I'm not sure it's fully defined now. It's a legal fiction.
Yeah. It's a legal fiction. Or gender identity, which is even less clear what the heck that means. That it would have muddied the waters, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to muddy the waters.
Well, not only back in 1964, there's no way back in 1960s that people are thinking of sexual orientation and gender identity when they use the word sex. But also, if you go on through history, Congress, multiple different kinds of Congresses over the years, they've been presented with the proposed bills.
ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
First of all, to include sexual orientation along with sexual orientation, and then sexual orientation and gender identity. Every single time, multiple attempts, many attempts. That has not passed in Congress.
Overwhelmingly rejected
in Congress. So you have the original intent, you have congressional action subsequent. It's very clear. It's a very simple case. Sex means male and female. And also, if you were to say that it includes gender identity, it would eviscerate the law by allowing males to subjectively claim to be female. The law was originally including sex because women were being discriminated against because they are women. Remember, we had to pass a constitutional amendment just to get women the right to vote. But in other areas, they were discriminated against in public accommodation and places of employment. And so to remedy that in 1964, that's why it was there.
But this totally throws it out the window. If a man can come in and say, I'm a woman...
So not only does it circumvent the legislative purpose, it defeats the legislative purpose.
Exactly.
It turns the law upside down on its head. Yeah.
Because now there is no protection for a woman. And here's an example. Take the athletic competitions. Women have fought for equal opportunity in athletic competitions. There's even Title IX that says that if you have a certain sport, you got to have a compatible sport for the women. And many women have been able to participate in various kinds of sports, whether it's soccer or softball, baseball, whatever it might be. They're able to participate in these sports. Now, if a man cannot cut it in the men's section or doesn't want to be there and jumps over into the women's sports, and we've seen this happen already, starts beating the women.
Well, they're dominating.
They're dominating the women. In some cases, like in the boxing arena, mixed martial arts arena, they're actually hurting the women.
Hurting them bad. One woman was beaten by a man pretending to be a woman, and it crushed her orbital lobe, her socket.
So it really undermines the whole purpose of what the law is. It literally turns the law on its head. That's why courts are supposed to interpret, not legislate. So we certainly filed this brief. It's a very well-written brief. You can go, we're actually two of them. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org. I encourage you, if you want to learn more about these cases and some of the work we do, you can download those briefs right there online. And these are very critical cases. The cases will be argued during that first opening days in October when the court returns to session. So pray for these cases. They're critically important and will have far-reaching impact. For more information on how you can be a partner for this and other areas of religious freedom and life, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.